It's my privilege and pleasure to be able to bring to you today the gospel in this program called Simply the Gospel. Sovereign Christ Bible Fellowship Church is committed to preaching and proclaiming the gospel of God in the person of Jesus Christ for the glory of God and for the joy of all those who receive this gospel as the good news of God. We're 1 week away from Good Friday. And next Friday, most Christians will celebrate and remember the death of Christ on the cross, which we do every time we receive communion. But this 1 week prior to, we hear Jesus' sixth saying from the cross, from John chapter 19, verse 30. He says, at the end of his suffering, at the end of his travail, as he looks down and sees the suffering of his soul and is satisfied as he knows the work that he came to do has been accomplished, he makes the joyous victory shout, "It is finished." What is finished? The man of sorrows has paid the price to purchase men for God. The redemption of the people of God that God foreknew before the foundation of the world is accomplished through Christ's suffering and death on the cross. The question you may have, if you're new to the gospel message, you've never heard this before, you may ask the question, why did someone have to suffer in my place? And I hear this word about he paid the price to purchase men for God. Friends, this shout, "It is finished," is the shout of one who accomplished the work of redemption. So the question would be then, why do I need a redeemer? Why do I need someone to redeem me? What does that mean? It means to buy you out of slavery. It means to atone for your sins, to pay the price for your sins. There's a price to be paid for sin, and it's death and judgment and condemnation. To understand what this means, we have to look at what the Bible teaches us about humanity. There was something called the fall, and Adam sinned. And when Adam sinned, the Bible tells us that all men sinned. The whole race of humanity fell with him. Death came to all men through the sin of one man named Adam. And now all fall short of the glory of God. This is significant. God doesn't look upon our fallenness and our sinfulness as just being human. We'll excuse ourselves and say we're just human. Friends, when God sees us as simply human in our fallen state, he sees men and women who have defaced his glory. So man has been at odds with God since the fall, and God has been at odds with man. At the fall, the mind of man, according to the Bible, is enmity against God. That's worse than being an enemy. Enmity is irreconcilable differences. This means that the mind of man has nothing in common with holy God. Yes, we think. Yes, we can do things and make decisions and make things and things like that. Those things we have in common. There's something about being an image bearer that we still bear an image to an extent in many ways. But we have nothing in common with holy God and God's righteousness and holiness. Man's sin broke peace with God. This means that no longer are you in harmony with God. I was no longer in harmony with God in my fallen state. No human being since the fall has been. Since the fall, since sin entered the world, death has reigned over the whole human race. The whole human race. At the fall, the nature of man was wrecked. Prior to Adam's sin, there was peace with God. Man chose to do righteousness. He chose to do that which pleased God. It was something in him he was willing to do. he also is able to choose sin. And indeed, that's what he did. The nature of man was wrecked from that point on. Innocence was gone. Romans 1:18 and following describes the grotesque corruption of the human nature. Human nature, in the way it was created, was good. Christ is the perfect human man. But after the fall, the human nature was corrupted. Describes the human nature, fallen human nature in this way, the whole human race in this way. Described as wicked, truth suppressors, futile thinkers, a race of people whose hearts are foolish and darkened. A race, a human race whose wisdom spiraled into foolishness. An idolatrous people exchanging God's glory for false images. A race, a human race willing to exchange truth for a lie. Can you imagine exchanging gold for plastic coins? You'd be thought foolish. Well, the Bible calls the heart of sinful man as foolish. The human race was pleased to exchange the glory and truth for worthless idols and lies. Sickening. The fall produced in all men a love of impurity. Humanity together rejected God and chose instead all things shameful, indecent, and depraved, choosing wickedness over righteousness, evil over good, greed over contentment, depravity over purity, murder over life, malice over kindness, gossip over blessing. And if that's not enough, Romans goes on to reveal that in our fallen state, we are God-haters. We're insolent. We're arrogant and boastful. When it says we're God-haters, you look around, you may say, but we're not God-haters. The people of the world are religious. Yes, they're idolaters crafting gods from their own imaginations. It was John Calvin who described the human heart something like this, that the human heart is an idol factory, constantly producing idols. The Bible in Romans describes the fallen human race as people who are on the cutting edge of evil. We're senseless, faithless, heartless, ruthless. And even though we know intuitively that God stands against such things and those who do these things, Romans 1 quotes it like this, we not only continue to do them, but approve of all who do such things. The whole race of man has been pleased to live with an in-your-face God attitude since the fall. Yet when we come to John 30, we come to the cross of Christ, we hear Jesus cry out the victory shout, saying, "It is finished." In our fallen state, we hear those words, and some of you listening today, you hear me say them, and you find them, as well as Christ's cross, to be offensive. The words are offensive. His cross is offensive. Christ's words and his work on the cross, though, define both our problem and our hope. Our problem is that we can do nothing to save ourselves. That's why he hangs on the cross. We need a substitute. One sent from God to do what only God can do. To present, this is what it is, get this, to do what only God can do, and that is this, to present a performance record of righteousness, not for himself. Christ had nothing to prove to God. He didn't have to work and then show himself worthy. He was the worthy lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. No, he lived a life and he sacrificed in a way on the cross as substitute. He presented a performance record of righteousness for us, on behalf of us, because he was without sin, but we were sinners. He stood condemned in our place as he hung on the cross. In the place of sinners, It's our performance record before God that damns us with a just and eternal judgment. He hung condemned on the cross, and there he exchanged his righteousness for our sin. He took upon himself our sin. Reflect back on what we talked about earlier about the nature of fallen humanity and how it was corrupted. He took upon himself our sins, our sinful attitudes, our sinful actions. I mentioned a moment ago that the cross defines both our problem, and I just spoke of that, but it also defines our hope. Our hope is that though we are at enmity with God, God in love sent his Son to suffer and die in our place. Most people who hear this message right now, most people who hear this message will scoff. You'll be offended at that too, that Christ came to suffer and die in our place. In the end, though, those who scoff at this message and reject it will remain in their sins and will be condemned justly and eternally to hell. But some of you listening right now, some of you will hear this message. You'll hear this message of the Christ who suffered and died in your place, and you will receive this as the best news, the good news, that his work on your behalf is finished, God approved. As you listen right now, you may be saying, I don't understand everything that you're saying, but I do see Jesus. I see Jesus as the one God sent to take my place in suffering God's punishment, which I deserved. I see Jesus finishing the work of salvation on my behalf. Oh, my tender-hearted listener, if you see Jesus in this way today, thank him for finishing that work which he came to do on your behalf. Your sins have been punished in Christ. Give him thanksgiving. Let me encourage you, if you have come to believe, having placed faith in Jesus, you've received a new heart and a new mind, because in your old fallen state, your mind would reject God, remember, insolent, God-haters, and so on. If you had not received a new heart and new mind through the working of the Holy Spirit, you could not and would not have believed this message. If God had not opened your heart to receive it, you would remain in your sins, faithless, heartless, ruthless. But you've been redeemed. Give thanks to Jesus for his works and his words. It is finished. I encourage you, if you have believed on the Lord today and you've received forgiveness of sins, and you have a testimony that you would like to share, I would encourage you to call this station at 812-373-9947. May the Lord bless you and keep you.